Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am good. We have gone to IKEA. I've pronounced all the words.
Which you love to do.
It's endless entertainment.
It's true.
And here we are on a Saturday night.
It's Saturday night.
Live from nowhere. It's not live,
right.
But we're here.
It's pre-recorded. Yeah. And you're listening whenever you want.
I know. That's the beauty of podcasts, I guess.
It's true.
What are we getting into today?
Reddit Let's Not Meet.
I always enjoy these.
I do too. I love these ones. Coming off a big week like the Donner Party, which was quite a long episode, I figured we could have a little break with a Reddit Let's Not Meet. And we have a lot going on right now. We're fully in the swing of finishing up the planning of our wedding. We're like just about a month away from getting married. So it's a hectic time, but a fun one and an exciting one. But at the same time, we're doing Reddit Let's Not Meet. And
yes,
that's great. But before we jump in, I wanted to let you know that there is a poll up over on Patreon for bonus episode number 46, I want to say. It could be 47. I'm blanking right now because, again, I'm in wedding planning mode. Forgive me. I don't know what it says because I haven't posted it yet when we've recorded this episode, but it's going to be a good one.
There's great options.
Trust and believe, the Patreon episodes are always great. So if you want to vote on stories and hear them, go over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast.
And to do so ad-free.
It's true. You won't regret it. But anyway, without further ado, why don't we jump into this episode? Because I have some really good stories for you this week. I think you'll really enjoy them.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Trigger warning for suicidal ideation. Our first story is titled Legitimately Crazy X and was written by Bette Fucking Davis. I figured you'd like that.
She's angry even in her name.
I think it's a guy.
Oh, it's a guy.
Yep. This may well be the worst way to tell your parents you're gay. Do not recommend.
I'm hooked.
Yep. Figured you would be. My sophomore year of high school, I was on the cast and costume crew for our fall play. One of my castmates slash crewmates was a really, really cute guy. His name was Mark. He always wore skinny jeans, and I learned from a mutual friend, was bisexual. So I started flirting with him, looking for opportunities to hang out, sending him memes, everything a closeted nerd could do. After 3 months of flirting, hanging out, and growing gradually more affectionate, I asked him out on the last day of our play. He said yes. This is classic high school theater kid relationship. I love it.
Big win.
The issue? My mother is a very conservative Christian.
Well,
that's tough. That is
not going to go well.
Really tough.
Maybe. I don't know.
And although she was tolerant of gay people, I knew she'd never allow me to have a boyfriend while I lived with her. In parentheses, side note, I had 4 boyfriends while I lived with her. So, love it. So we had to hide our relationship, which early on wasn't too bad. We'd go to the movies or his house and just hang out. But everything started going downhill the first time we had sex. He started getting really demanding about hanging out, and by quote-unquote demanding about hanging out, I mean he was never not horny and frustrated. I was cool with it at first, cause, well, sex, but after a while, I was getting pissed about it. Working a relationship around my mom was difficult, and my generally asocial nature was not at all enjoying having to leave the house so often. I tried to talk to Mark about it, and he seemed understanding for like a week. Then he started getting nasty. He'd avoid me at school, only text me to insult me, and act insanely jealous of my friends. Eventually, I had enough and dumped him in July, after 9 months. Over text, while I was in Florida. Look, I was 16. Fuck you.
I love that.
Anyway, he lost it. He blew up my phone daily for a week. Then he started acting normal, like we were friends. That lasted another month, and we got back to school, my junior year and his senior. Unfortunately, while we were dating, we had tried to coordinate our schedules, so now we had 4 out of 7 classes with each other. At first, he seemed okay. Then he started staring at me. Then he started texting me again, sad messages. I figured he was done being a dick and started being nice to him again. Big ass mistake. He started getting attached again. He would try to integrate himself every time I went out with my friends. He would beg me to take him back. I would say no and explain again why we couldn't be together. Around October, he started getting bad. Like 1 a.m. texts and swallowing a whole bottle of melatonin bad. In hindsight, I should have gone to the authorities. But I was terrified that doing so would lead to my mom finding out. So I tried to handle it myself. Bad idea. He got worse. He'd threatened to kill himself regularly. The last time he tried, I sent him a laughing emoji and this video. It's a video from A Christmas Story of the children saying, "I triple dog dare you." So,
well,
pretty bad. And tried to turn my friends against me. I think he probably means the boyfriend tried to turn his friends against him. The worst day thus far came when we were building our homecoming float for drama club. I was hanging out and casually flirt bantering with 2 of my male friends, Isaac and Caleb, who were both straight. Mark saw this, stood up from where he'd been painting, and walked out in a hurry. A few minutes later, a freshman girl walked in, asking me where Mark was going. He said I'd know. I found out later he'd driven himself to the ER to get counseling. I was happy, thinking he'd get some help, but I had no damn clue how obsessed he was. I came home from rehearsal one day to find his car parked up my street and Mark walking towards it from my house. My mom was on the porch, waving bye to him. In parentheses, she thought we were just friends and loved him. Apparently, he'd been, quote-unquote, in the neighborhood and thought to drop by. Just for some background, I am the eldest of 7 boys. My youngest brothers were 2 years old and 6 months in the womb during this. My mom raised us primarily by herself. Dad's a dirtbag. Stepdad was deployed throughout this ordeal. She is an honest 6 feet tall, about half that wide, and can easily sling me across her shoulders. I'm 6'3 and 180 pounds. She is also the best shot with a pistol I've ever seen, by far. Not someone Mark, who's 5'4 and 120 pounds soaking wet, would want to tangle with, even while she was heavily pregnant.
7 boys is so many.
So many boys.
So many. So many children, period.
Yeah. I told her we did hang out, just not as much. She accepted this, and we went about our days. For a week, everything was okay. And then, I came home from rehearsal. Mark's car was again parked up the street, and he was sitting on our porch with my mother, who had my baby brother on her lap. She saw me get out of my car and gave me a come hither crook of the finger. Slowly, I walked up to the porch. It turned out Mark had told her everything. Everything. Our whole relationship. But with me as the abuser and himself as the victim. She started to lay into me and then dismissed Mark, who went back to his car snickering. After she was done ranting, I calmly told her my side of the story. Fortunately, she believed me, but she was still pissed, so I was grounded, which pales in comparison to what happened that night.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Our house is old and crappy. The windows can easily be jiggered open from the outside, even when they're locked. Mark knew this, since I'd used it to my advantage many times when sneaking out, and my mom's room, where she and my 2-year-old brother sleep, is right across the hall from mine, facing the backyard. Mine faces the street. That night, I woke up around 2 a.m. because I was cold. After I got my glasses on, I saw why. My window was open. I whipped around, searching for whoever did it. My bedroom door was open, too. As I got up, I heard the sound of my mom's bedroom door quietly closing. I raced as quietly as possible to the door, and I heard something that stopped my heart. A metallic click, like a gun being cocked. I flew across the hall and threw my mom's door open. The lights were on. Mark was crouched in the corner, a cleaver in hand. My brother was sound asleep. And Mom? She was calmly sitting up in bed, glasses on, Harry Potter book in her lap, a 10mm pistol in her hands, pointed directly at Mark, who was shaking and sobbing. She told him to shut up before he woke the baby and directed me to call the cops so she could keep an eye on him.
I love this woman. Shut up so you don't wake the baby.
Yeah. Mark was taken into custody, but Mom declined to press charges. We couldn't afford it. On the condition that Mark move out to Arizona with his dad instead of staying in Missouri with his mom, which he did, and from then I hardly saw him, unless he was Snapchatting my friends begging to talk about me. Standard shit, you know? Mark, for your safety, let's not meet.
Yeah. Sounds like Mama's gonna put a cap in your ass the
well,
next time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He came into the room with a knife?
Yeah. And that's your baby?
Yeah.
And she's pregnant?
Yes. 6 months pregnant.
Yeah. Well, he fucked with the wrong person.
Yes, he did.
My God. Wow. Yeah, this is a wild one. Like, what was his plan? Also, why do you have to pay to press charges? Like, I thought the state just did that.
What? Yeah, I didn't know that.
I was like, if somebody attempts murder on me, I have to pay to have them convicted? Like, that should just happen.
I agree. Yeah, apparently charges were not pressed and they were able to get him to just move out of the state. So, I don't know, but someone commented, my guess is that Mark, delusional, sought to murder OP's mother. In his sick mind, the mother was perhaps the only impediment to his getting back together with OP, or she was at least responsible for the original breakup. OP had explained repeatedly that he wanted to stay closeted and that he could not do so while getting together constantly with Mark. When Mark outed OP to OP's mother, he spun a tale of OP being abusive to make Mark the sympathetic character. Maybe he simply wanted to hurt OP by alienating him from his mother, but more likely, by unmasking OP in this way, he hoped that OP would be kicked out of the house and into Mark's waiting arms, but the plan backfired, so plan B was to eliminate her as a roadblock or as a way to further punish OP for rejecting Mark. And OP commented, damn, probably.
I mean, there's no reasoning with crazy, but...
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Makes sense, I guess.
I mean, he said that he was not trying to come out to his mom. He knew her stance on gay people. Yeah. and he didn't want that to be something he had to deal with. So I'm sure Mark saw that as a major roadblock in their relationship, even though he was probably the most contributing factor to their breakup because he was a bad boyfriend. Like,
yeah,
it sounds like OP was willing to have a relationship with someone when they weren't shitty. Like,
yeah, you gotta listen, you know?
What do you mean?
In a relationship, he just didn't listen.
Oh, well, like. No. But I think he was far past just not listening.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you come in with a cleaver at night, you're past not listening.
Yeah. This is also like in high school. Like, they're in the high school play together.
Yeah, he's like 16.
Yeah. Wild. Yeah.
Truly unhinged.
And also he's having to deal with his ex saying he's gonna hurt himself and having to navigate that and not wanting to out himself, but also at the same time not wanting him to hurt himself. Yeah. And then it just gets so overwhelming that he is a teenager and sends him a really insensitive YouTube video. I mean, that was not great, but
he's
16 and probably had no idea what the hell to do.
Yeah.
And was like pushed to the edge of his capabilities of being able to handle any of this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's not his job to handle.
Right. You got to tell the parents, but yeah. I mean,
right. In a perfect world, an adult should have been brought into this. But yeah, this is, oh my God, this situation was crazy. I just love the image of her sitting in bed reading Harry Potter with her reading glasses on, holding him at gunpoint, just like completely unfazed. Like, she's like, shut up. Wait, do not wake the baby.
So was she up when he entered the room?
Yes. Okay. She was up reading a book and he walked into the room with a cleaver, which is a large knife. And she probably had her gun like in her nightstand or wherever, obviously within reaching distance.
Yeah.
Nuts. Anyway.
I got really nothing else to say.
I just found this one to be insane. So I thought it would be a good one to
and it was.
Start with. If OP is listening, I hope you have a lovely life. I hope that you and your mom figure it out. I hope that she accepts you.
Yeah.
And you guys can bridge the gap.
Yes. Amen. Be gay. Also, I never knew what OP was for the longest time.
Original poster.
Original poster.
It is.
But it's just so funny to me that everyone's talking about OP all the time.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, why don't we move on to story number two?
Let's do it.
This one is titled, There Was a Guy in My House and I Pretended He Wasn't There, and it was written by Yuno Gulo. So a bit of background info. I currently live with my parents. The house is two stories. There is an in-law apartment on the first floor, along with some other things, garage bay, furnace room, laundry room. I live in the in-law apartment. My dad has been working with a contractor and some of his employees to replace the wall-mounted air conditioners. There have been a lot of people in and out of the house. The day this happened, my mom and I went out to do some grocery shopping, and my dad stayed home to direct the contractors. We got back and discovered they were gone, and my dad had gone to bed, so my mom and I made some dinner and hung out upstairs for a little while. I mentioned offhandedly to my mom that our cars were still outside, and I talked about a woman whose car and house had been broken into down the road. This creeped her out, and she sent me downstairs to check that the front door was locked. It wasn't. In fact, it was a little bit ajar. I closed it and locked the deadbolt, and then went back upstairs. We stayed upstairs and watched TV for a few more minutes until I heard a loud thump downstairs in the in-law apartment. I assumed that this was my cat getting antsy because I wasn't feeding her. I told my mom that I was going to go downstairs to feed her and then come up to finish the episode. As I walked down the stairs, I heard another, louder, thump, which I thought was my cat getting excited. It was food time. I opened the door, and she was nowhere to be found. Really unusual for her. So I was confused. I walked into the kitchen to look for her and noticed something that made my heart sink. The furnace door was closed. I never close the furnace door, and neither do my parents, because we want the cat to be able to get inside to catch mice. I recognized then that the thunk I'd heard could have been the heavy furnace door closing. I was completely frozen, convinced that there was someone right behind that door, hiding from me. Now, I'd seen a lot of scary movies lately, and it could have been paranoia, but this felt awful and not right. I knew that I didn't want to give this potential person any reason to open the door, so I put on my best acting skills and pretended that I'd noticed nothing amiss. I did some baby talk to my cat, who still hadn't materialized, and scooped out some of her food. I was super creeped out whenever I had to let the door out of my sight. I was basically keeping it in my vision at all times to see movement. After quote-unquote feeding the cat, I went upstairs. I grabbed my mom and explained what had happened. She was skeptical. Again, scary movies paranoid. And thought maybe one of the contractors had closed the door. But seeing how off-put I was, she went to go wake up my dad. My dad grabbed his gun and went downstairs. He screamed up at us to call the cops and get somewhere safe. We hid in the bedroom and we called the cops, who showed up and searched the entire house, not finding anyone. My dad explained to me after they'd gone through the house why he'd said to call the cops. He saw that the furnace room door and the back door to the outside were both wide open. So, person who was hiding in my furnace room while my entire family was home, let's not meet again.
Ugh. Well, at least nothing went wrong.
Yeah, there was no confrontation, but the fact that there was someone standing behind the door and she knew it, very creepy.
Very violating.
Yes.
Yeah, we had somebody break into our house. I think I was in like high school. And they stole, it was so weird, like they stole the change out of my bedroom and basically just like any cash that they could find, but it just wasn't that much. And then they left the iPad that was on the table.
Oh, weird.
But
were you home?
No.
Oh, that's thankfully good.
But yeah, I mean, it was just like
still very violating. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you know that someone broke in?
Well, the door was kicked in.
Oh, kicked in.
And our shit was gone.
That's extremely violent. That's like a harsh way for someone to break in. Someone kicked in the door?
Yeah, it was our garage door.
Oh.
Or not the garage door that your car goes in, but there was a door to the side of it that wasn't like deadbolted.
Okay.
And then we leave the inner door of the garage open.
Right.
So they kicked that thing down.
Dang, that's spooky. Yeah, what would you do in that situation if you were that person going down to the room and knowing that that furnace door is never closed and you knew that someone was probably behind it? Would you ignore it and feed the cat and then go upstairs and tell your parents, or would you open the door?
I don't know. I definitely wouldn't open the door. I'd probably do something similar.
Yeah.
But I guess it depends on how old I am.
Sure. Like, what age do you think you would open the door?
If I was like 18.
Yeah, that's some...
I feel like I might be dumb enough to do that.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm going to fuck this guy up, not knowing who's behind the door.
Right. Could be anyone.
I don't know. I probably still wouldn't do it. It's just, you don't want to mess with that.
No.
Call the police.
Yeah.
What would you do? I mean, there's no way you'd open that door.
No.
Yeah.
No, I would run upstairs. I would probably do something very similar. I would like to believe that, at least. I guess you don't really know unless you're in it, but yeah, I would like to believe that I would have a similar reaction. But anyway, why don't we move on to story number 3?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This one was titled Scottish Highlands and was written by Lolo Magic Carpet. Sorry if this is really long, I'm used to telling this one in the pub. Me and my friend Annie were about 22 and 23, and we were both at uni in different cities at the time. When we were kids, her family and mine used to go on hiking/camping trips every year, and through high school and uni, me and Annie kept up this tradition. We did bits and pieces of the West Highland Way every year for a catch-up, take some climbing shoes, and hang about a bit in the wilderness. We usually do it at the start of the summer, but this year we were both snowed under with work and exams and stuff and couldn't get the time off. But the time we both had enough days to spare, it was mid-October. I was hesitant about heading right up into the highlands that late in the year and said we should just miss it. And she laughed at me and told me to grow a pair. So October it was. You don't really argue with Annie. We met at the train station about halfway up and aimed for a 3-day hike. To be honest, I was kind of excited, even though I knew it would probably suck. I really love Annie, and I miss her when we're away. I saw her purple waterproofs. She dropped her bag, we hugged, and started walking, chatting away about life, etc., etc. This was the year she had her first placements. She's a doctor and a something attrition consultant, anyway. Which is why she couldn't get the time off. And I just restarted uni and was trying to get a flat sorted. Either way, we were chatting for hours while we walked. But if it was anyone else, I'd be having the worst time. Scottish weather is shite. I don't know if anyone has been here in winter, but it sucks. Especially later in the year. It gets dark by about 4 p.m. and it chucks it down all day every day, apart from the days where it's moody and overcast and crappy, or snowing. We've got a Scots word for it. Dreek. Dark. Shite weather. Can't see a thing. Everyone's miserable. It was absolutely pissing it down, and in the end, we just gave up. By the time we met at the station, it was about 10 a.m., and we forgot it got dark early, so by the time the sun set, we'd only got about halfway to the place we usually stop. We hiked along a bit further until I'd had enough and told her I wasn't up for going any further, and it'd be cool if we just wild camped. Or as she puts it, I said, quote, Annie, put the fucking tent up. I'm fucking soaked. I don't fucking care. So we shove the tent up on the first flat bit we find, struggling in the dark, and then climb in. The next morning, we wake up, and we find out we'd pitched the tent in the bog, about 2 feet from the burn, and literally everything was soaking wet. On top of that, we were miles and miles from the next train station. So we packed up, raging, and keep going. We discuss it a bit, more of me going, I'm fucking soaked, and in the end decided to head for a bothy we knew was nearby, which at least had shelter. If you don't know what a bothy is, it's basically an open shed thing that you can sleep in with a bunch of other hikers, get to know folk, and importantly, not have to worry about where to wild camp. Also, it's free, so you're not stung by tourist hotel prices. We pick up the pace a lot, and don't really stop for food or anything. Because it's all damp and sad anyway. Having left at 9 a.m., we get there for 3 p.m. when the sun starts to set. It's dark and a bit grotty, but there's nobody else there, so we feel like we've scored. By the time we've got dinner and played some torchlit cards, she's looking a bit spaced, so she heads off to sleep early. I'm knackered and damp, and I'm so fucking glad to be somewhere dry, I just unpack my sleeping bag and do the same thing. Sometime in the middle of the night, I wake up by Annie having a seizure. It's not a big deal. This happens a lot. So I didn't need to call an ambulance or anything. I just jump out of my sleeping bag and undo hers so she doesn't hurt herself. I sort of cushion her a bit with her fleece and keep an eye on her. She gets over the worst of it, and she's lying there, quiet, while I'm talking to her as she comes around. At this point, I glanced up and noticed that some time after we'd gone to bed, someone else had come into the bothy. There was a dark red bundle of sleeping bag in the corner and a rucksack, and Annie's fit had woken whoever was in there. This guy was coming over to us. He seemed nice enough and genuinely worried about her. "You need any help?" he asks. I don't get a chance to look him over because I'm juggling making sure Annie's okay and making sure this guy doesn't call Mountain Rescue and make us look tits.
The, like, dialect of this is awesome.
I know. I'm sure hearing it in my American accent is just...
tits.
Yeah.
Grotty.
Great for anyone who's actually Scottish. Anyway, no, she's okay. It happens all the time. She's medicated and things. It just happens. She'll be okay in a bit. Sure? Yeah, honestly. Cheers for the help, but we can't really do anything. He comes closer, and he starts, in quotations, helping. Not in a way that immediately alerts me, but in an annoying way. Like, he starts trying to put her in a recovery position, which I'd already done, and even though I'd told him 100 times I've known her since I was 5 and know what I'm doing, he didn't listen. He's breathing really heavily, and he smells a bit moldy. Eventually, I just tell him to back off a bit and give her some space, and then he smiles at me, which was weird and creepy, and in the half dark, sort of wrong because it didn't meet his eyes. This guy looks off as well. He's got his massive, huge fucking beard like he lives out here, and a weird accent. Sorts of Scottish, but sorts of something else as well. I thought he was maybe an oil rigger or something. I've met a few in Aberdeen, and he seemed to fit the bill. His eyes were really, really dark, and his face was so pale, he made me look tanned. Also, who the fuck is hiking in this weather this late? Who gets to Abavi alone after 6 p.m.? He moves closer again to look at Annie, and then I tell him more firmly that I've got her and I don't need help. I feel like I'm being a bit mean, but I've started to get stressed out because I can't see properly and Annie's been out for fucking ages. By now, it's getting on to 15 or 20 minutes. It shouldn't take this long for her to come round. Like, it's usually at least half this. Also, I notice she's got her eyes open, which isn't that unusual, but I'm almost 90% sure she didn't when she started fitting. Then I notice she's looking at me. Not zoned out or anything, but actually looking at me. It takes me a few seconds, but I realize she is. Lauren, she whispers, hardly moving her lips. She doesn't really blink either, but her eyes are looking right at mine. Don't react. I don't know why, but I'm so scared I just do as I'm told. She said once she had this patient who used to talk bollocks after a fit, like they were hallucinating. So a part of me thinks she's doing the same, but another part of me has noticed that she's now staring over my shoulder, where the red sleeping bag man was. I go to slowly turn around, but she grabs my hand. I put her in recovery position, but from where she's lying, she's able to sort of squeeze my hand without moving too much. So I freeze, keeping looking at her, then keep my voice at a normal volume. I don't know what else to do, so I keep talking to her, saying, like, Annie, it's me. Can you hear me? All of that stuff. Then her eyes flicker back to me, and she whispers again. She's basically mouthing it. If I didn't know her looks, I would have struggled. Lauren, ask him for help. Don't panic. Okay, weird. Really fucking scared now. So I slowly let go of her hand and turn around. And that's when I see what she's been looking at. The red sleeping bag man had been sitting in the corner watching us, still smiling. Only now he's got something in his hand under his jacket. I thought he'd got climbing gear with him, but all I can see is rope and no harness or anything. And it's not climbing tape he's got, it's a massive roll of something darker. He's just staring at us, waiting. I don't know what else to do. So I move an inch or so away from her and look at the guy right in his creepy eyes. Hi, sorry mate, can you give me a hand? She's not waking up. I'm really scared. He doesn't even move. I can feel my voice shake. Not acting or anything, I'm genuinely shitting it. I remember before when he was helping me that he kept trying to touch her hair and things, so in a moment of blind panic, I ask if he could move her hair out of her face so I can check if she was breathing. I don't know why. I'm not as smart as she is, but I've seen too many crime thrillers and sort of assumed it would be a psychology thing. Maybe he liked that she was vulnerable? Whatever, it worked. He gets up, dead slowly, and moves towards us. He puts his hand on her hair and starts really smiling. I can hear him breathing. It's really scaring the fuck out of me, especially when he leans close and says, "You're going to be my favorite." Annie has her eyes closed now. I put my hand in hers, and I can feel it. She's squeezing. Not like, calm down, it's okay, squeezing, but steady. 3, then 2, then 1. And at 1, She opens her eyes and swings for him at the same time I do, punches him right in the throat, and from where I'm sitting, I can get him square in the groin. She decks him again, like a fucking boss, because she's a Highlander, and I automatically grab... and I automatically grab his rope. He's not exactly going down without a fight, but between us, we've got hiking sticks, massive boots, elbows, and adrenaline, and in about a minute, we get him tied and taped up. We grab our shit and get outside as fast as humanly possible, then do something I thought I'd never see Annie do in my life. Call Mountain Rescue. They come get us in about an hour, and when we get to town, we give a full statement to police. In parentheses, making sure we didn't get done for GBH. I don't quite know what that means, but maybe someone does. A few months later, we find out they let the fucker go. He didn't actually do anything to us, according to the police, and they didn't have enough evidence to tie him to any other sexual assaults, which is the worst part of this, because I can't even imagine what would happen if we didn't get as lucky. If Annie hadn't sussed him, he'd have attacked us in our sleep. So, Red Sleeping Bag Man, let's not meet again, ever.
The fact that there are these free places to sleep out in the middle of nowhere.
Just sheds?
Sheds on a trail.
It's pretty cool as far as like a survival situation goes.
Yeah. But like, you know, like that's cool. As a kind of tourist attraction?
No.
Maybe not.
Well, there, you could definitely find yourself in a very dangerous situation. That's for sure. Because anyone can stumble into that thing. And this is Exhibit A.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's terrifying that they were already asleep by the time this guy was in there. And the only reason they woke up was because she had a seizure.
Yeah. Well, it happened for a reason, I guess, you know?
Yeah, or something.
The fact that he was smiling.
Ugh, the whole time?
The whole time.
Just
breathing and smiling.
Just sitting in the corner, staring at them and smiling.
Hey.
That's disgusting. Yeah.
You're like, this person's dying and you're smiling? Or, you know, they're having a seizure?
Yeah, she wasn't dying, but she was having a medical event.
To him?
Yeah.
You know?
But that's even scarier because she's in like a vulnerable state and he knows that and he sees it.
Yeah.
And that's like better for him, which is so scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they took care of business.
Well,
yeah. Tell you that.
I mean, think about how badass Annie is for having gone through a seizure 5 minutes before, opening her eyes, seeing the situation, and just then immediately
attacking.
Yeah. Immediately knowing exactly what the hell to do, pretending she's not awake yet. And then communicating to her friend exactly what needs to be done. And then she throat punches him at the same time that her friend punches him in the groin. And they tape him up and tie him up and then call Mountain Rescue. Like, that's sick.
The throat and the groin punch at the same time is a
lethal combo.
Lethal combo.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'll get you. I wonder if they coordinated that too. Like, how'd they just... Both of them was
3-2-1.
Yeah, 3-2-1, and they just got lucky that one of them went for the groin, one of them went for the throat, or did they, one was higher, one was lower? I don't know, but that's a pretty good combo.
Yeah.
They gave him the old 1-2.
Literally.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that nothing bad happened, because that man sounds horrifying.
Yep.
It's also scary that they just let him go, but yeah, I guess that he didn't technically do anything. He just was creepy as far as this story went, because they were able to get away from him, but it just sucks that they couldn't, I don't know, do more.
Yeah.
But you can't do more when there's nothing to...
He didn't really do anything yet.
I know, but that sucks.
All the signs were there.
Yeah, that sucks. But I'm glad that they're okay, and hopefully that man... never comes across women ever again.
Learned his lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, learned his lesson, sure. But anyway, let's move on to the next story. This one is titled, I Was Kidnapped as a Child, and was written by Throwaway-EXRAC. Trigger warning for drug use and addiction. I'm a girl. My mom was a horrible addict. She barely took care of me as a kid. At the time of this incident, I was around 6 or 7, so my awareness and understanding of things happening may not totally make much sense. This happened in the 90s. One night, my mother and I were on a car ride. I wasn't sure why we were driving, but it was late at night. I'm not sure what time it was, but I assume it was really late because there weren't many cars on the street, and I was sleeping in the back seat. I don't even remember getting in the car. My mom drove up to some sketchy house and left me in the car for what felt like forever. Suddenly, the car door swung open, and someone violently grabbed me by my arm and yanked me out of the car. I started screaming and crying until the man that grabbed me looked me in my eyes and said, "Be quiet and don't try to run, or I'll kill you." He had a scruffy beard and looked like a madman. I was scared to death, so I listened. He held me tight by my arm, shut the car door, and walked with me down the street. I looked back at the house my mom was in, hoping that my mom would come out at the last second and save me. I looked at the house as long as I could, as the man dragged me further and further away. As we walked down the street, I wanted to cry, but I was in shock and in fear. I didn't know what to do. If I sniffled or cried, the man would tighten his grip and yell at me. I can't even explain how scared and confused I was. We walked for a little while and ended up in the projects. The projects were a bunch of buildings crammed together in a shitty neighborhood. We walked into one of the buildings and walked up a flight of stairs. My legs and feet hurt like hell, but I was too scared to stop moving or complain. We walked up another flight of stairs when I saw some random guy smoking a cigarette in the stairway. Then, without warning, the guy that kidnapped me fell to the ground. It happened so fast. I didn't know how the kidnapper fell to the ground so fast, but the next thing I remember is the cigarette guy was punching and kicking the kidnapper in his head and face, and the kidnapper was out cold. Cigarette guy picked up the kidnapper by the back of his jacket and threw him down the stairs. You have no idea how scary and violent it is to see an unconscious man fall down the stairs. To this day, I still have a fear of falling down the stairs. He bled everywhere. I still have no idea how cigarette guy knew to help me, but I'm glad he did. Maybe he could see tears in my eyes. Maybe he just picked up on something and had a bad vibe, but he acted instantly. The first second he could, he attacked my would-be kidnapper. Cigarette guy starts pacing back and forth, swearing at himself, gritting his teeth and clenching his fists. I thought he was mad at me, so I started to cry. He looked at me and said, "Okay, okay, okay, shut up, shut up." He had an attitude, so I listened to him out of fear. I wasn't scared of cigarette guy as much as the bearded guy, but I was still in fear of him. He started to ask me questions with an attitude. "Why are you out this late? Where are your parents? Why would you talk to strangers?" I was in so much shock and confusion, I couldn't answer the man's questions correctly. He asked if I knew my way home, and I told him I didn't. I told him a broken story about what happened, and somehow, with the information I gave him, he knew where my mom's car was. The only thing I remembered about the road is passing a house with Christmas lights on it, despite Christmas already being over. I think he knew the area well enough and figured out where I needed to go from that information, but honestly, I don't even remember telling him about the Christmas lights. Anyways, he told me he would take me back if I promised over and over that I wouldn't tell the police that I saw him, or anyone that looked like him, and made me promise that I wouldn't even tell the police anything. He had an attitude. I didn't care what he asked me. I just wanted to go back to my mom, so I agreed. I followed him down the stairs. The bearded guy was still laying on the ground, bleeding, at the bottom of the stairs that cigarette guy threw him down. He wasn't moving at all. For all I know, he was dead. And I hope now that he was. Cigarette guy stepped over the bearded guy, and I followed. We walked outside, and cigarette guy looked around, panicky. I remember him telling me, "The police don't like me." We walked out of the projects, and my feet still hurt. Cigarette guy was walking fast in a panic, and I had to basically jog to keep up with him. I started crying, and he asked me what was wrong. I told him my feet hurt. And I remember him sucking his teeth and picking me up with an attitude. He awkwardly cradled me in both arms. He walked down the road for a moment. Then I remember him swearing and running behind a house or a building. A cop car was driving down the road. He put me down and told me to run to the police car. I tried to run, but my legs could barely move, and I was scared. The cop car kept driving and rode away without seeing me before I could even get remotely close to it. He kept swearing to himself as he picked me up again and ran down the street. He took me behind a lot of houses and hid from every cop car that drove by. I assume now that the police were looking for me. He carried me in both arms, running fast down the road, when I saw my mom and her car in the distance. She was surrounded by police. Cigarette guy put me down and told me to run to the police. I got so excited, the pain in my legs disappeared. He put me down and ran away. I ran towards the police and my mom. My mom picked me up and hugged me tight. The police started to ask me and my mom questions. I don't remember too much about their questions, but I remember my mom telling the police some convoluted story that didn't make any sense. She basically told me not to say anything, and I didn't say much, but cried a whole bunch. We went home. Days later, my dad picked me up and knew something was wrong. I told him everything. I never lived with my mom again. When I grew up and had time to think about that day, I never forgave my mother. Not too long ago, I asked my dad what he remembers about the situation, and he told me what he thinks happened from what I explained to him from years ago. He said my mom was on a drug binge. I got kidnapped, someone saved me, but the person that saved me had warrants and wasn't mad at me, he was just frustrated with the situation that he had to deal with. Imagine being a criminal on the run, and now you have a kidnapped girl with you, and you just beat up a guy half to death. If he would have gotten caught with me, he could be in jail for my kidnapping. With my mom lying and me being in shock and confused, I wouldn't be able to tell them that the man helped me, because while it was all happening, I didn't even notice he was helping me. To the man that saved me, thanks. To the man that tried to kidnap me, let's not meet.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
So I wonder what he was wanted for.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you're on the run, and then you just do this, like, vigilante justice.
Yeah, he just saw her getting kidnapped and had enough of a moral compass to be like, well, shit. Like, now like, I have to save this girl. Actually, there was an update. She, later on in her life, after writing this story on Reddit, became connected with him and was able to talk to him on the phone. Like, someone connected her with him. Yeah, so there's an update. She wrote, I had the chance to talk to him a few days ago. He was cautious and didn't know if he could trust me, but after a little while, he opened up and we talked for a good amount of time. There were a lot of questions he answered for me, but I'm not sure exactly what he would feel comfortable with me sharing with everyone. So I plan on speaking to him again soon and asking him what he would want. He is in a better position in life and handled his legal troubles. Update number 2 said, I spoke to him again. He's in good spirits. We talked about a whole bunch of things. If anyone has questions, you can ask below. And a commenter said, did he know the kidnapper? Is that how he knew to intervene? Because some people were like speculating that potentially he knew this guy and knew that he was a creep and saw him with a little girl and then beat him up because he knew, you know, the reputation of the guy. And OP responded, he did not know the kidnapper. The kidnapper wasn't even from the projects. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, he knew the people that lived on the floor above, and they wouldn't have anyone that looked like the kidnapper around their home. He assumed the kidnapper was taking me to the roof because people would do a ton of sketchy things on the roof of the project buildings. He said the kidnapper paused when they made eye contact, and he could tell that the kidnapper was up to no good. So he just took a drag of his cigarette and acted like he didn't care. He didn't want the kidnapper to run away. When the kidnapper walked up the stairs, cigarette guy attacked him as soon as he came close enough.
Well, I mean, he was right, but I guess this was kind of a guess.
Yeah, but he got it right.
He got it right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, could it have just been a dad with his kid?
No, I mean, it very obviously was not a dad with his kid.
I mean, I know that, but like, could you have seen that just from a guy walking up the stairs? I don't know.
I mean, I guess in theory it could have been, but I think based on the scene that she set, it didn't look like that at all.
Yeah.
And also it looked like the guy was very creepy and up to no good. So, and also like he said that people would do sketchy stuff on the roof and there was only one floor above him and the people, he knew the people upstairs. So he's like, this guy is not going to the people upstairs. He's going to the roof with this baby.
So he was essentially sure.
Yeah. Like this is very much a kidnapping situation.
Ugh.
So he let him get close enough and then he beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then took the girl. And based on the comments and like OP responding to people, like she confirmed like, yes, he was in legal trouble. He had warrants out. We don't know what for or like what was going on, but he was obviously not wanting to have any run-ins with the police for himself. And also, yeah, if he got stopped by police with this little girl, sure, yes, he's saving her. He literally saved her from the kidnappers, but like they don't know that. This little girl is crying, freaked out. She's 6. Like she can't really properly explain what's happened. So he would get arrested. Like he would get arrested not only for whatever he's running from the cops for his legal troubles, whatever that was, but also he'd catch a kidnapping charge, which is not nothing. That's big.
Yeah.
So he really went out on a limb to save this little girl. So that's amazing to me.
Yeah. Dude, humans are just so interesting. It's just like, yeah, he didn't have to do that at all.
No. But also, how could you ignore that?
I mean, I couldn't.
No.
But, you know.
You can't ignore that.
I'm sure there's plenty of criminals that would.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
But he wasn't one of them.
No.
Luckily.
He's not. Yeah, and I was really happy to hear that later in her life, now that she's an adult and she's, like, reflecting on the story, she was able to, like, get in contact with him and have a phone conversation with him, thank him, and then also found out that he's, like, in a much better place in his life and he's, like, doing really well and is okay. And they were able to like talk, which I think is great.
I don't know. It is great. It's just such what a weird relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, how do you even start that conversation?
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for saving my life. Actually.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't remember the beginning of the story. Like, how did she get taken in the first place?
She was with her mom, who went into like a drug house and left her in the car. And the kidnapper opened the door and just pulled her out of the car. Because she was just left in the car.
And then the dad was like, what?
Once the dad found out what had happened, which was much later after everything had been resolved and like the police were involved and everything. Yes, he said that she could not live with the mother anymore and she never lived with the mother ever again. And in the comments, she has said like, my mother is a very bad person. She's like, don't feel bad for her. Like, it was a lot of like, she's done a really bad shit to me, basically. So it seems like this was a, like, yes, addiction is a disease and people struggle and, you know, whatever, but this was a really bad situation, it seems.
Yeah.
So
you can't be doing that.
No. But yeah, I mean, this cigarette guy, he's the goat in this situation.
I guess, yeah. Like,
he saved her life, and I thought that was really cool.
That is really cool.
I thought. But anyway, the next story is our final story. Do you have anything left to say about cigarette guy?
No.
Okay.
May he stay out of legal trouble.
Yeah. May he live a happy life. Our final story is titled, My LARP Chainmail Saved My Life.
LARP Chainmail.
Yes.
Okay.
This was written by Raul9753.
Can you explain what LARPing is?
LARPing is live action role play. So it's like kind of like a Renaissance fair is what I picture when I think about live action role play, or like Comic-Con, like that kind of vibe. But it's people who like dress up and then go and do role play, live action role play.
They pretend to be knights and shit.
Yeah.
For those that aren't familiar with LARPing.
Yeah.
And the LARP.
The LARP. This story happened just a few years back when I was visiting an old friend in Köln while at the same time taking advantage of him as a free stay for a meeting with my LARP group. For those who don't know what LARP is, it's basically real-life role-playing. Imagine a D&D game, but instead of people sitting around a table with dice, you have people actually dressed up as their characters, actually role-playing in real life. So there you go. That's what LARPing is. LARPing was my hobby since I was 14, and after I got a job that paid pretty well, I started to go a bit more all out when it came to my stuff for my hobby. One of those things I spent a solid amount of money on was my character's armor. Important for this story, the chainmail I wear under my outer armor. After the meeting of my group, I mostly got out of my LARP outfit because I really didn't want to walk through Köln Molheim, which is one of the more dangerous places in the city, as a medieval knight. But since I couldn't fit it all in my back, I kept my chainmail on, as well as my tunic and my pants. On my bus ride home, I noticed some guy seemed to have an eye on me, but I guessed it was because I still looked very out of place. When he got off on the same station as me, I didn't really pay much attention. I was almost at my friend's place and decided to call him, asking if we should meet and get a doner, which he agreed to before I even ended my question. I arrived at our meeting spot first and waited. Then I noticed that guy from the bus again, who now walks straight toward me. I got closer to the wall to make space, but he didn't pass me. He stopped before me and pulled a knife on me, demanding my bag, wallet, and phone. I was willing to give him my wallet, but tried to explain that the bag only had some armor and foam weapons. But it seems that even just talking was enough to set this guy off, and suddenly I felt two fast, stinging punches in my stomach. It hurt like hell, and I dropped down and the guy grabbed my bag. Honestly, the next things are not really in my mind. I was barely able to notice anything other than the voice in my head screaming, "You got stabbed!" So the next thing I noticed was my friend shaking me. My bag was open and my stuff all over the place, and he was holding my helmet with blood on it. As he said it, he saw the guy throwing my stuff around after the bag was most likely too heavy and too big for him, so my friend, seeing me on the floor, managed to grab the first thing he could, which was the helmet, and bash the guy with it until he ran away. So it's the guy's blood.
Whoa.
We later checked my stomach, and even though I had two giant deep blue bruises, which hurt like hell, I only had small cuts, since the chainmail stopped the knife. Until this day, I get sick in the stomach when I think back on that day and remember that if I had not worn a piece of my LARP clothing, I would be dead. If I had not worn a piece of my LARP clothing that day, I would be dead. Literally killed over a bag full of costumes. 150 euro in my wallet, and a 10-year-old phone. This world is fucked up. And that's the end.
I cannot believe that he found himself walking around with chainmail and that it saved him.
I know.
Nonetheless.
It's pretty awesome, if you ask me.
You can't make this stuff up. But I get this shit works.
LARPing,
I guess,
is,
they wore it for a reason
LARPing
back in the day.
LARPing is serious business. I'll tell you what.
I guess so. I mean, he was wearing real chainmail.
Yeah.
That works, clearly.
Right.
I can't believe he didn't get cut at all.
I know. It stopped two stab wounds. Pretty cool.
And then his friend just bashed his head in. Yeah, also, if they're like, give me your shit, don't explain why you don't want it. Just give it to him.
Yeah, but I mean, you're frenzied, panicked. Like, you're not
thinking.
Right,
I mean, you just react, I'm sure. You don't have time to be like, well.
It's just foam weapons.
Which was true.
It is true.
And I guess he found out, like, why is this shit so heavy?
Right.
It's
armor,
it's
dude.
It's knight armor,
yeah,
actually.
I'm a knight.
Yeah.
I'm literally a knight. That's a pretty cool story, though, to bust out at your new, at your next LARPing event, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he was the talk of the town.
Absolutely. You go to your homies and you're like, look at this. My chainmail saved my life. I am a knight, in fact.
Turns out the LARP didn't end when I left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, he was wearing a tunic?
Yeah.
The whole time? What's that?
Isn't it just like a shirt? But it's just like an old-timey looking shirt?
I was thinking like head to toe or shoulder to toe.
Oh, it's like down to the knees.
Yeah, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Like, it's a long sleeve shirt that just keeps on going.
Yeah, down
it's
to the knees.
Honestly, close to a dress.
Yeah, it's like an old-timey medieval-looking shirt that you would wear.
That's
if
so
you're,
crazy.
You know.
You're just walking through a bad neighborhood looking like Link.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, that's if you're a LARPer, that's what you're wearing. You've never gone to Comic-Con, have you?
No,
I've gone to Comic-Con, and that is so funny. I mean, same goes for any costumed scenario that you're participating in. Like, if you're going to a Halloween party and, you know, you're walking through the town and there's nobody else dressed up, like, it's a similar thing. Like, anyway, I've gone to Comic-Con before, and that's just so many costumed people, but you have to get to Comic-Con. So you're, like, walking through whatever city you're in, dressed as whatever you are.
Right.
And it's just, like, a random day. And you're like, this is what I am today.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it is.
Hey, I'm a knight.
Yeah, I'm a knight. I'm literally a knight.
It.
Try to stab me. I dare you.
Yeah.
You can't.
Well that's the thing is, like, when you walk, I feel like when you walk through a bad neighborhood with that on, you just attract so much extra attention.
Well, sure. Well, that he was trying to avoid it by taking off the rest of his knight costume, but he said he couldn't fit the rest of it in there. So he was, like, forced to wear the chainmail that was underneath his tunic because he couldn't fit it in his bag. So he probably wouldn't have been wearing it if he had a big enough bag to fit it.
It's true. Also, I mean, he still looks out of place.
Right.
And I actually just had the thought, would you actually repel any unwanted attention if you were dressed up like a knight? Like, if you look unhinged enough, or, you know, somewhat crazy, I feel like most people leave you alone.
It depends.
You know?
I don't know.
I mean, other crazy people won't, but, you know.
I don't think I want to test that theory.
I mean, me either. I'm not going to, but I'm just saying, like, if you were walking down the street and saw a knight, would you mess with that person? I would stay away.
I would stay away, but I'm also just an average person, so I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't really know, but I thought that was a fun one to end with because how fun. Your chainmail stopped you from getting stabbed. Like, that is a fun story. And if you're a LARPer, I mean, come on. That's like, you're going to tell that story for years to come.
Yeah, I wonder if he's like proud of it or if he is just kind of like shaken up and scared that it happened.
It seems like he's shaken up by it, which
Who
sucks.
Can't be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary situation. He got mugged. Like, that's really scary. So I hope that he is able to, I don't know,
move on
from it. But I'm just thinking about it from a strictly equipment standpoint, you know, like he invested in his hobby and he did a really good job.
Yeah. Like, no, he's like, do you want the real chainmail?
Yes.
Like, somebody probably asked him that question.
Right.
And he was like, yes.
You're like, that chainmail is $2,000. Really? You need that one?
He's like, yeah.
Yes, I do.
I do.
I'm a knight. I'm literally a knight.
It was the right call.
Right.
So, I mean, but just the title of the story is insane. Or like the summary that you could give to somebody. That's all I have to say about it.
Same. Yeah, I thought that it was a good crop. Did you enjoy the stories that I curated for you today?
I did. I like stories with a good ending.
Yes.
And it seems like this is a good crop for that.
I'm glad. I don't think I have anything else to say about that. Why don't we move on to our good thing as a bit of a palate cleanser? What's your good thing?
Well, my good thing is that I have finally made persimmon pie.
You have?
Which honestly looks like a pumpkin pie and probably will taste similar, but it's the time of year for persimmons and we have bought 16 pounds.
So many pounds of persimmons.
And we've eaten most of them.
It's true.
I think we have like 2 or 3 pounds left, but we've eaten it over like a month or so. But they're so awesome. But yeah, I was like, I want to make a pie out of this, and I just haven't had time to do it. Did it today. It came out pretty good.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm very excited about this pie.
So I made like 2 smaller ones that we just ate, and now we have a bigger one downstairs that we're about to go dig into. So I am pumped about that. So that's my good thing. What's yours?
That'll be our wild Saturday night activity is
pie.
Getting into persimmon pie. My good thing is that our wedding is just about a month away. That's where we're at.
It approaches quickly.
It is approaching. And although this time is very hectic and we have so much going on, it's an exciting time and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. And then right after that, we're going to Mexico.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. Oh my God, I can't wait. I need a vacation so badly. Mm-hmm. I need a vacation so bad. And we're going to go on vacation together, which is, it'll be our first vacation ever, which is crazy because we've been.
Not ever.
I mean, okay.
You got to stop that.
Listen, we've only ever taken one trip as just the two of us, and it was a weekend trip, and that's great, and I love that. But I mean, like, as an actual, like, extended vacation, just the two of us, this is our first
right.
one.
Right. Yep.
So that's really exciting. And it'll be the Monday after our wedding, which is pretty insane because it's going to be kind of a sprint to get there. The travel plans will be a little crazy, but we will get there and we will have a great time. And I'm sure at some point we will debrief.
We will. And we'll try and make up for lost time.
Yes. But for now, that's my good thing. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this Reddit Let's Not Meet episode. If you would like to check out all of our bonus episodes and vote on stories you want to hear, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. If you have a story of your own, like a Reddit Let's Not Meet story, and you want to share it with us and possibly hear it on a listener's episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram @nottoday_podcast. We have a TikTok that is nottodaypodcast and a Twitter that is nottodaypodcast, but the T in the podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up,
so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.